Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. We are wrapping up our time at CPAC, Conservative Political Action Conference. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful couple of days. Thanks again to Governor Scott Walker for dropping by a few moments ago to chat about what he's up to these days. And coming up at 5:35, it is the final Friday of the month. And so we will bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTurnham Blue Friday honor on a very, very deserving Central Virginia law enforcement officer. In between all of that, however, Scott McKay is joining us from the American Spectator, which I have been a reader of for a long time. Scott, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about what you and the Spectator are up to these days.
Well, it's really the same publication that it's been since, you know, when I was in college. It was the first thing I subscribed to. That was back when Bob Terrell was just hammering the Clintons with the FBI Filegate thing, and I mean it was fantastic. I've written there for, I guess it's been 8 years now.
Wow.
It's been just a lot of fun writing a column a couple of days a week. Today I had one that was talking about the coronavirus, not so much from a medical standpoint, but from a political standpoint, which seems to be on the brain this week.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the Democrats started pulling their hair out about how their prospective nominee can't stop touting Fidel Castro.
Right.
And finished with, you know, Mike Pence is an idiot who can't handle the CDC when there's a really bad case of the flu that's out there. And it's like, yeah, okay, I think we've seen this movie before a couple of times. And we know how it ends, and it doesn't end well for you guys. You might not, you know, you might think about the whole manufactured crisis aspect of this and whether it works for you, because it doesn't.
Right.
And they've been at this nonstop since Trump got elected. I mean, there was the Russian thing, and then there was the Ukrainian thing, which led to an impeachment. Now they're going to do, you know, basically we're going to bring Captain Trips from Stephen King's The Stand and say, oh, everybody's going to die, and it's all Mike Pence's fault. And it's like, guys, really? I mean, you know, you could just, like, be a normal political party that does normal political things. But I don't think they're good at those anymore.
No, they're not. No, you say you could do that. They can't do that. And
well,
that's the whole thing, isn't it?
I think that's why you might see November be a pretty historic election. It's a done deal that Trump's going to get reelected. We all know that. They don't have anybody who can beat Trump. It's the reason that some of them are maybe coming off their idea that they're gonna do what it takes to screw Bernie Sanders out of the nomination for their long-term survival as a party, and now they're like, let him go, and then we'll retake the party in 2024 or something.
Yeah.
But the problem that they're, I think, facing right now is down the ballot.
Yeah.
Right? House seats. I mean, you talk to the real expert, you know, political analysts, and they say, oh, no, the Republicans can't take the House back. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know, these are purple districts that they took in 2018. And if they can't find some, you know, suitable alternative to Bernie Sanders, those purple districts are not going to vote for somebody bearing that standard.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get split ticket voting, I get all that, but, you know, I mean, it's a bad campaign when your nominee or your incumbent Democrat in a, you know, Trump 51 district or something is having to answer questions about whether or not they're going to vote for universal, you know, socialized medicine,
right,
or
how they feel about Fidel Castro. Yeah, can you, like, tell us about how well the trains ran? I mean, and here's the buses.
The worst part of that, and I'm amazed that nobody picked up on this. Or some people did, but yeah, Castro ran a great literacy program. What were they reading? I mean, Jeff, what were they reading? They were reading about how, you know, you need to inform on your parents.
Yes.
And you need to, like, that's right. It's like, oh, yeah, that was a great literacy program. It's like, you know, content does matter,
that's right,
Bernie.
That's exactly
and
right.
And you're talking about, you know, the left-wing propaganda and, you know, the Cuban version of Pol Pot with the Children's right. Crusade. And you think that this is a good thing, that Americans would really like to copy that?
No.
I don't think so.
But let me ask you about generational issues, because we do have a generation below us. Our kids, our nieces, our nephews, they came of age with Barack Obama, right? They came of age at a time when they were told America is not exceptional and we've done everything wrong. And you know what? Free is good. Whether it's free college, it's free lunch, it's free Willy, whatever you want.
Sure.
Everything is
absolutely.
Free.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and they did everything they could to indoctrinate people into that mentality. Still going on in the schools.
Oh, yeah.
I would take solace in something Margaret Thatcher said a million years ago, which is that the facts of life are conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, stupid kids get older and become smarter adults. It happens, right? And, you know, I mean, it happened to the baby boomers who, you know, you and I,
yes,
our parents' generation.
Yeah.
I mean, these were the free love hippies. And I mean, now, you know, I mean, my dad's one of them, and he was never one of those people. But, like, he calls me at lunchtime, and I'm about to throw myself off a building because the market went in the tank. And I'm like, it's the time to buy, Dad.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I don't want to hear it. Anyway, the point is, you know, the 60-somethings and 70-somethings, you know, committed a lot of really horrendous cultural crimes in their youth.
Yes, they did.
And yet, you know, they turned out mostly all right.
Yeah.
You know, our generation, we were the Reagan kids, and we've been all right from the get-go,
right?
But the millennials, you know, they'll get better. They might kind of be Rand Paul-y or so. But, you know, eventually you take enough trips to the DMV, and you realize that the government is just not what they told you it was in school.
The DMV experience is the perfect analogy, is it not?
Look, yeah. I don't want to change the DMV at all, because it's the best conservative, small government indoctrinator we have. Right? We do nothing about it. And, like, everybody goes to DMV and goes, so this is what the medical system's going to look like.
Exactly.
Yeah, and on and on and on. And you have plenty of time for those gears to turn in your head. And by the time you finally leave the DMV, you're at least persuadable as a voter. So I'm optimistic about how things will be at the end of the day. Now, you know, the best thing we could do is universal. You want universal something, universal school choice,
so that
parents can actually yank their kids out of these indoctrination factories.
Yeah.
And, you know, we mentioned Bernie Sanders. Remember where Bernie Sanders' institutional money is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers unions.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know, like, remember that the next time there's a school tax on the ballot, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, who am I paying again?
Yeah. Well, and did you notice that 4 years ago, when Bernie Sanders was running against Hillary Clinton, ostensibly, he trashed millionaires and billionaires?
Right.
This campaign...
This is before we knew that Bernie Sanders was himself a millionaire.
Exactly. This campaign, he's only trashing the billionaires.
Exactly.
Right?
It's inflation. This is Bernie Sanders' inflation. Like, well, we narrowed down the villains that we're going to string up by the nearest flagpole once our political revolution that we're telling.
Yeah.
You know, the fun piece to this, because I still contend that the Democrats are going to find a way to screw him out of the nomination, because they've got to. They're kind of trying him on. Well, maybe we can. But if there's any way they think they can keep him below 1,900 and whatever delegates before that convention, they will screw him out of it.
Absolutely.
And if you saw James O'Keefe's videos, the same as I did, like, what? How are you going to pull that off without those people making Chicago look like a grease down at a shiatsu, right? I mean, because the Bernie bros are not pleasant people.
No, they're not.
And they're not exactly invested in Western civilization.
They are not. You are absolutely correct.
You know, you're like pulling the tiger by the tail. And, I mean, we may be sitting there watching Milwaukee going, is this a political convention or is it like, you know, a circus with actual animals?
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the long-term play, though, for Democrats, right? If you're a Democrat right about now and you said, okay, we've got Joe Biden. Look, Joe's a dope, but he's our dope. You know, we can manipulate him and shape him, but
gets harder to do every week, though.
Exactly. And he's gone so far overboard, it's like, all right, we can't save him. Right. Well, we got Mike Bloomberg. Look, he's tiny, he's miserable, he's angry, but we can do something with him.
Misanthropic is the word that you're looking for.
Oh, you are like a
living,
breathing
misanthrope, this man.
Thesaurus, my friend.
I'm gonna take all the salt off the tables at the restaurant. And it's like, but why would you want to do that? Because I know better about you than you. Okay, and the big gulp goes to, yes. Yeah. Well, here's a picture of you with a big gulp. Yes, but that's me not you. And it's like, I'm not voting for this guy. I don't care how much money he pays me to do it. He's hiring, like, you know, staffers all over the country to, like, make calls. And they're calling people like, look, don't vote for my boss. He's a jerk. I mean, I guess if there's a certain amount of money that you can spend that nothing else matters.
Yeah.
But, the Democrats are the party that hate money.
Well, ostensibly.
Ostensibly,
yes,
correct.
Yes.
I mean, but, that, like, I don't know. Is that sellable? I just, like, I don't know what they have. They have Amy Klobuchar, and then she starts talking, and then they don't really have her because nobody wants to hear that
voice. Right, right.
And then you got Pete Buttigieg, and, I mean, okay. Like, there are communities within, you know, the Democrat base.
Scott, there are more people here at CPAC than live in South Bend.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 101,000 people. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be president.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, what else you got besides your mayoral race? Well, I'm a gay guy with a husband. And it's like, yeah. And, of course, Limbaugh got in all kind of trouble when he's like, I don't know that you can sell that. They're like, what do you mean you can't sell? It's like, what I mean is, nobody's ever sold it before.
Right.
We probably had gay presidents. They didn't make a big deal about being gay presidents.
Yeah.
This guy wants to be elected, making a big deal about being a gay president. Rot's a rock, baby.
There you go.
You know, let's see if that works. I'm with Rush. I think the Democrats will look at that and be like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
That video that came out of Iowa with that goofy old lady that shows up. And, I mean, you know, that was the one thing that nobody in the Democrat Party wanted to see on video.
That's right. That's right. And by the way, how quickly did it disappear?
Oh,
had it been
you
the
don't
Republican
need to see that.
Thing,
see
right?
That.
We'd still be seeing it on the end of the
school. Well, that's right. And it was one of those things where I actually was ready to give somebody a major high five because I'm like, if this is, you know, whether it was Turning Point or, you know, somebody who just put on a massive troll. But I'm reliably told that this was a real thing. It was like, wow. Sometimes you just can't make it up, right?
Yeah. Well, listen, Scott, I want folks to read you because I read you. And,
great.
And that's the highest endorsement I can give to you.
Sure, I appreciate that.
So what's the best way for them to do that these days?
Well, I do actually three things.
Okay.
I have one skill. I write, right?
Okay.
So I write a lot. I have a website of my own called The Hayride, which is, I'm from Louisiana. We cover Southern politics at the state level mostly. Like, I mean, you know, Louisiana politics is a circus with animals unto itself. We also do Texas and a lot of other Southern states as well. Some national stuff is in there. I do the column a couple days a week at the American Spectator, like we talked about. And actually, over the summer, I wrote a novel. For 20 years, I've been thinking, I should write a novel. I'm a writer. All writers write novels. And I finally got around to doing it. Wrote the first draft in 8 days.
Wow.
The name of the book is Animus. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's a Western. It's not really a Western. It's set in a world that's a little like the late 19th century United States. You know, you do that and you do an adventure story and you get to throw in a lot of social commentary that doesn't really necessarily, you know, make itself relevant to the real world today. But yes, it does.
Okay.
Right? And it's basically a rescue story. It's about, you know, there's two countries. One of them is good guys that look a lot like the Gilded Age United States, and the other one are like savage bad guys who have no redeeming value. You don't really get a lot of books and movies like that anymore, and yeah. I wanted to do something refreshing. So if you're looking for villains that you can absolutely hate, read Animus, A Tale of Ardenia, which is the novel that I wrote. It's available on Amazon.
Very cool. Well, we'll get the links up for all that stuff.
Great. And, yeah, I appreciate it.
I know you're headed to get a beverage, so I thank you very much.
Yes, it's 5 o'clock. Well, no, it's 5 o'clock here,
it's
right?
It's after 5 o'clock. You are dismissed, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot,
thank
Jeff.
You. That is Scott McKay from the American Spectator. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.